Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to Digital's conference call hosted by Don Cumberly. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, you will need to press the 1 followed by the 4 on your push-button phone. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Mr. Dan Cumberly. Please go ahead.
Good morning. I'm Dan Cumberly, and welcome to Digital's fourth quarter teleconference. Thank you for joining us. With me this morning are Bob Palmer, Digital's Chairman, President, and Chief Executive Officer, and Vin Mullarkey, Vice President and Chief Financial Officer. Vin will first take you through the quarter, and then Bob will add his thoughts. We will then have a question and answer period. The teleconference will end about 12:15. If you have additional questions, please contact me at 508-493-2195. I will now turn the program over to Vin Mullarkey.
Thank you, Dan. Good morning, and thank you for calling in. I will be reviewing Digital's financial performance, while Palmer will follow with key messages which focus on our business results and also accomplishments over this past year. We will then take your questions. Overall, we've made substantial progress with Digital's financial turnaround. We are continuing to execute our plan and are on track to achieve our short-term financial model. For the fourth quarter of fiscal 95, we reported net income of $160 million, or $1 per common share, compared with a net loss of $160 million, or $1.22 loss per common share for the same period last year, excluding $1.6 billion in restructuring charges and other one-time items. This earnings performance represents a $320 million improvement for the quarter. Total operating revenues for the quarter were $3.75 billion, compared to $3.92 billion for the same quarter a year ago. Although total product revenues as reported declined 4% year over year, when adjusting for one-time events, such as divestitures, quarter four evidenced continued solid growth at 14%. After adjusting for these events, we had very strong growth in our Asia-Pacific markets and moderate growth in Europe, which is clearly showing signs of improvement. The U.S. also grew, but at a somewhat slower rate. We performed well in most product areas. Our Alpha business grew over 30% compared to last quarter four, driven by continued solid demand for our Alpha service. Our personal computer business grew by approximately 20% year over year. Although this was slightly less than we had planned, we continued to emphasize a balance of profit improvement, cash utilization, and market share gains in order to position the PC business infrastructure for its next growth phase. We expect to make continued progress and capture additional market share in fiscal 96 after what has been a very solid performance of nearly 50% growth in fiscal year 95. Alpha Unix systems continue to grow. They were up 25% year over year. We continue to see exceptional demand for Windows NT, which continues to grow well over 100% year over year. Our network hardware products, as well as our storage subsystem product lines, continue to grow significantly. Our service revenues declined 5% versus quarter four of last year. The key factors associated with this decline are that we receive lower maintenance revenue per unit sold, resulting from a more reliable product line. Additionally, our integration business was off plan, driven by increased focus on more profitable business, as well as a realignment of our systems integration business with our accounts business unit. Overall, revenue performance continued to run ahead of plan for the company, as well as in most of the operating units. Gross margin stabilized well within the range of our short-term business model, ending the quarter at 32.4%. Given the continued pressure on products and service margins, I'm pleased with our performance here. I expect margins to remain in this range, consistent with our short-term model, for the foreseeable future. Let me now move to expenses. Total operating expenses for the quarter were $1 billion, compared to $1.3 billion a year ago. This represents a 21% decrease year over year. Digital has achieved significant reductions in operating expenses, moving from 34% to 28% of revenue over the last four quarters. We have been successful at reducing our cost structure while at the same time making a number of significant investments to pursue new emerging markets. Digital ended the quarter with 61,700 employees. Year over year, our population has decreased by 16,000 employees, or 21%. This largely achieves the objectives we put in place a year ago with our restructuring program. Our balance sheet continued to strengthen this past quarter. Cash increased by 9% to $1.6 billion. Accounts receivables, inventory, property, plant, and equipment were notable in their improvements this past quarter. Our capital spending targets were also achieved. In quarter four, we again achieved a very solid positive cash flow from operations, exclusive of restructuring. Relative to currency, with the continued weakening of the U.S. dollar over the past 3 months, Digital experienced a 3% favorable impact on the company's revenue during the fourth quarter. However, non-dollar denominated costs, as well as competitive pricing responses, have substantially offset the positive impact at the profit level. So, in summary, our financial performance reflects continued consistent improvement in most areas of our company. Quarter four profitability has more than doubled the quarter three level, and we're profitable for the full fiscal year. We continue to execute a solid set of proof points, bringing us a step closer to our short-term business model and sustained profitability. And our strong balance sheet continues to strengthen. Thank you, and I will now turn the call over to our chairman, Bob Palmer.
Thank you, Van, and good morning. I'd like to take a few minutes before we entertain your questions to make sure that we all have a clear picture of just how far digital has come in the last year. As you may remember, 1 year ago in July, we put in place an aggressive restructuring plan and a new financial model designed to restore profitability and to position us for longer-term growth. And in 1 year, we definitely accomplished most of what we set out to accomplish. First of all, as Vin just noted, we reported a profit in fiscal 1995, the first time we have done so since fiscal 1990. These positive results are a consequence of the execution of last July's restructuring plan. In a very challenging and ultimately successful 12 months, we achieved significant progress. We eliminated an expensive, inefficient, and ineffective functional matrix management business model and moved our business units to full P&L accountability. We reduced our employee population by 16,000 people worldwide. We cut operating expenses by 14% for the year. We managed to transition coverage of about 7,000 accounts to indirect channels and partners. Our channels distribution increased to approximately 60% from 45% the previous year. And we avoided any significant revenue decline while doing so. In fact, we grew total revenue 3% year over year, or 6% allowing for divestment. We ended the fiscal year with a strong and healthy balance sheet and $1.6 billion in cash. When comparing FY95 to FY94, we achieved an increase in profit after taxes of $641 million. This is a remarkable improvement in profitability by any standard. In addition to a strong financial performance, we continue to improve our outstanding lineup of products and services. The multi-vendor portion of our services business grew more than 40% in FY95, an excellent market indicator of Digital's recognized expertise in this area. We continued to introduce leadership Alpha 64-bit technology to the marketplace during the year. Our Turbo Laser Alpha Server 8400 and 8200 systems introduced in April are the industry's most powerful server systems for technical and scientific applications, and for enterprise-wide, very large database applications. We've also experienced strong order demand since their introduction, and our mid-range 2100 Alpha departmental servers continue to be in high demand. Earlier this month, we unveiled a whole new line of workstations that span the core segments of the workstation market. At the top of that line, our AlphaStation 600 models offer unparalleled performance for the most demanding technical applications. And our entire workstation line now boasts the best performance and leadership price performance across the entire spectrum of the workstation market. From our PC business unit, the Hynode Ultra has helped to redefine mobile computing, combining the latest technology in the sleekest, most ergonomic notebook on the market. It has won outstanding reviews from customers, analysts, and the media since its introduction last November. Those are just a few highlights of the strongest product and service lineup in the company's history. We are firmly on our plan to continue on the path to profitability and growth, and we will continue to make any corrections that we deem necessary over time to keep us on our plan. Over the course of the next few months, we will continue to refine our business strategy and redouble our efforts to increasing operating revenue and income. I'm confident about our ability to do that, and I'm quite optimistic about fiscal year 96. Thank you. Now Vin and I will take your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, you will need to press the 1 followed by the 4 on your push-button phone. You will hear a 3-tone prompt acknowledging your request, and your questions will be polled in the order they are received. If your question has been answered and you would like to withdraw your polling request, you may do so by pressing the 1 followed by the 3 on your push-button phone. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the numbers. One moment, please, for the first question. Ruth Hinch, please state your company name followed by your question.
Hi, this is Don Brown from D.H. Brown Associates. I got a couple questions. One, you mentioned 3% currency quarter to quarter. What about year to year?
Approximately the same, slightly higher.
Okay. You mentioned Alpha's up 30%. Could you talk more about what VMS on Alpha is doing and versus Unix?
VMS on Alpha is doing well. It's in fact, both VMS and Unix are doing well, and the growth is well over 25% in both cases.
If we took total VMS volume, both on the VAX and on the Alpha, is that flat, up 5, down 5, up 10, down 20?
Approximately flat.
Flat. Okay. Where are the financial analysts on the estimates for next year?
I think some of these questions we perhaps better handle offline. They're all in the range of approximately $3 a share. Next question, please.
Thank you.
Lori Villegra, please state your company name followed by your question.
Yes, this is Lori Villegra with Reuters. I would like to know how the computer systems division fared vis-a-vis its goal of hitting a profit by year-end. And secondly, can you talk a bit about what's going on in the semiconductor operations? Because I've heard they were one of the non-profitable areas of the company, so could you give some numbers on your plans on what's going on in Hudson, if there's been any leasing of space or any agreements?
On the systems business unit, which had, without question, the most challenging plan for this year, I'm happy to report that they achieved most, if not all, of their goals that they set for themselves 1 year ago. Enrico Pescatore and his team did a really quite remarkable job in reducing the expenses and getting the new business model implemented and in putting the right strategies in place for growing the business in fiscal 96. So we're quite encouraged with that. That's not to say that within the unit there aren't still some opportunities for improvement, and those are in the 96 plan. In terms of the semiconductor operations only began operating as an independent business unit in FY95, and they achieved a good market growth outside of their internal customer. They're leading in terms of the PCI interface adapters. They're leading in some new graphics chips and Ethernet controllers, and now fast Ethernet controllers. So they're doing well in their first entry into that marketplace. On the other hand, we have been quite clear that we are talking with a number of companies about a potential partnership to take advantage of the new 8-inch submicron facility that's just come online this year. And we're still optimistic about those discussions resulting in a partnership by the end of this calendar year. That would reduce the overall cost of that underutilized capability. I'm also pleased to report that the semiconductor operations has achieved all of the elements of their budget this year, met all of the objectives they set for themselves, and most importantly for Digital and its customers, they met all of the objectives of introduction of new high-performance Alpha microprocessors on schedule, on budget, and really ahead of some of the performance metrics that they had committed to. So we're quite satisfied with that operation. We could use a partner to help reduce the cost of being in that business.
But what's the computer systems division and the semiconductor group? Were they profitable or not?
Well, the semiconductor group, again, we don't break out the profitability by group. But Semiconductor Group is not profitable, nor was it expected to be profitable. As I mentioned, they achieved their budget and all of that. In the case of the core systems business, the SBU, essentially achieved their objective, which was not to be profitable because of the way we account here. We don't really add up all of the different pieces that are driven by that core systems business unit. But just looking at the core systems business unit, last July, Enrico set an objective for the management team of break even by the end of this fiscal year. And that objective was largely achieved.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen Burke, please state your company name, followed by your question.
Yeah, Steve Burke, Computer Reseller News. Bob, you made some big changes in the distribution strategy and working with indirect channels in the fiscal year. Can you talk about how the strategy might change in the new fiscal year and what kind of goals you have set for yourself in that arena for the new fiscal year?
Well, I'd be glad to. I think that, as was observed a year ago, digital was quite late in shifting its business model to one that is affordable with the new market realities so that you can deal with the majority of your accounts with indirect channels and partners. We had a couple of objectives. One was to reduce the costs associated with the very large direct sales force that we have. We transitioned successfully some 7,000 accounts that had previously been handled direct to our indirect channels and partners during this fiscal year, mostly in the last quarter or two. In addition, our objective is to expand the base of customers because these partners, in many cases, are calling on customers that we never called on before. So as you look at the latter part of your question, 96, we're going to start selling to customers that haven't done business with digital before through these partners and indirect channels, in my view. In the case of the direct accounts, we're still managing somewhat over 1,000 accounts with a direct sales force. These are our larger global accounts, and they represent enough revenue that you can afford the infrastructure and support, and they need the additional services that the direct organization can provide. During the last quarter, we completed the absorption into the accounts business unit of our systems integration capabilities, and I think that what was accomplished here in 1 year is quite extraordinary. Most of our competitors began moving to indirect channels in the late 1980s because of the cost implications. Digital, as I said, was late to get started. On the other hand, from last year at some 45% through indirect channels, we ended this year at nearly 60% through indirect channels. And the year before, in fiscal 93, I believe we're about 33%. So we've made tremendous progress in developing these channels and partners, and I expect that we'll continue to focus in that direction.
Any goals, Bob, that you have set in terms of specific numbers?
Yes, there are specific goals by business unit, but we don't break those out externally. To say that we're approximately where we wanted to be with 60% or so going through the indirect channels and the aggregate of the products, that's about right. Within individual business units, there's quite a spectrum depending on the nature of their products.
Thanks, Bob. One last question and let you go. Can you detail some of the products that were the strongest sellers through that channel?
Well, for example, in the case of the direct channel, one of the things that we noted in Q4 was that the turbo lasers that we introduced in April had a strong demand, and many of those moved because of their complexity and the size of the sale. They moved to the through the direct sales force, although we moved quite a few through indirect channels as well, of the 8200 in particular. I think that we've had good demand across the spectrum, but if you looked at network hardware products, for example, that's been growing very rapidly. Digital has a leadership architecture there with our new Envision architecture, and our switches and intelligent hubs and switches have been in good demand, and those are primarily through indirect channels. Components and peripherals, indirect channels, starting to do better with our workstations in that space. Certainly our PCs have moved dramatically. A year ago, PCs were moved significantly through the direct channel. In FY 95, that's totally been transitioned to the indirect channels. And about 95%, I think, recently are moving through indirect channels as opposed to direct for our PC business. So a tremendous switch there. And we've got a good relationship with these indirect channels. We had a lot of reselling to do to win them over to digital. They've been won over by the new management, our new business-like approach, and in particular, the quality of the technology that we have.
Thank you very much.
Thank Ken Johnson. Please state your company name, followed by your question.
Hi, Ken Johnson calling Eagle Tribune. My question is, you said that most of your restructuring goals from the plan that you put in place last July have been reached. Do you anticipate any further need for restructuring, and do you think that the employee base right now is at the size you want it to be?
Well, with respect to further restructuring, there are activities that will be going on throughout FY96. There are no new activities. In other words, they were targeted last July, and these are primarily associated with facilities that we've taken out of the active inventory, and we're now in the process of finding suitable purchasers for and that sort of thing. With respect to the population, which has been the most painful part of this restructuring of the company, we're largely in the vicinity we wanted to be. We run the company by business unit, and so it's probable that there'll be some modest reductions over the rest of the year as each business unit continues to optimize its model. We have some opportunity for further reductions in the overhead structure, but when compared to our previous downsizings, these are going to be modest indeed unless market conditions change. But the thing we need to emphasize here is that this company is concerned about market reality. And we're going to size our workforce either up or down as appropriate to our opportunities and the requirements of the marketplace.
Thank you.
Michael O'Connell, please state your company name, followed by your question.
He just answered my question. Thanks, anyway.
Ambrose McNevin, please state your company name, followed by your question.
Hi, Ambrose McNevin, TC dealer based in London. Can you explain to what is the maximum amount of indirect sales you expect, given that you're going to retain the accounts business unit?
Well, in the case of PCs, which I think may be the primary interest that you have, they're all indirect. In FY96, all the PCs, at least to a first approximation, all PCs are through the indirect channel. We're not giving our direct sales force credit for PC sales through direct.
Okay, but also on the Alpha systems, can you give me an idea of how much you expect to go indirect?
Well, I think in a very gross terms, about one third or so of the systems are anticipated from the systems business unit to go through indirect channels, and about two thirds through our direct channels in dollar volume. Now, this is because again, the turbo laser systems and clusters. Our higher ticket systems, those typically move through the direct channels into global accounts. And so on the dollar volume side, you'd expect to see that kind of a split. However, there's no particular plan there. You should understand that that's our expectation. What we're doing is responding to how does the customer want to buy. The realities of the marketplace and of digital's approach is what is the most efficient way to reach the customer in a manner that they want to be serviced. This is a very different approach to what we had here a few years ago, as we determined what was best in that case. Here, we're very flexible, trying to find the best way to fulfill the customer's requirements.
Okay, just one further question. You've talked about the growth of VMS and Unix. Can you actually split out by percentage how much each operating system for accounted in Alpha product sales?
Yes, we can. About 10% of the Alpha sales were the NT operating system. The remainder was split approximately the same between Unix and OpenVMS.
Okay, thank you.
Liz Galise, please state your company name, followed by your question.
Yes, hello. Liz Galise at Bloomberg Business News. Analysts were a little concerned this morning about the third quarter sales figure. Most of the ones I talked to said it was a good $200 million lower than their forecasts. And I'm trying to get a handle on why the softness.
Well, I can't relate to their forecast. I don't know what assumptions were into it. We're quite pleased with the performance of the company in terms of revenue and revenue growth. As I pointed out earlier, the growth was quite solid at 14% in the product area after making appropriate provisions for a couple of one-time items, particularly in the area of divestitures. There have been other factors that have had an impact relative to revenue seasonality, but overall, we were on our expectations as a company. experience that level of growth in product sales while at the same time being somewhat focused on restructuring the company is quite a significant achievement. Next question, please.
Eric Schoeniger, please state your company name followed by your question.
Eric Schoeniger, Deck Professional Magazine. I have two questions. Mr. Mullarkey, can you say tell us again the net gain for the fourth quarter and for the fiscal year?
The net profit, sir?
That's right, yes.
For the quarter four, the company's net profit was $160
million. 116 or 160?
Excuse me, 160.
Okay, thank you.
$160 million.
And for the fiscal year?
And for the fiscal year, profit was $122 million.
Okay, thanks. And Mr. Palmer, clearly Digital's financial stability is linked to the success of the Alpha architecture. Many industry observers contend that there are too many chip manufacturers in the market and that several will fall by the wayside. And I wonder if you have any specific plans that will prevent that from happening to Digital.
Well, I think the plan that we have to prevent it is unchanged since the introduction of Alpha, and that is to offer a compelling reason for the architecture to survive. I think those observations have merit, by the way. Recently in Microprocessor Reports, which is a well-respected journal that's prepared on the West Coast that is written by microprocessor design engineers, they pointed out that with the exception of Alpha, the other RISC architectures don't offer any significant performance advantage over the Intel architecture, which has most of the market. Now, as you know, Digital offers both Alpha and Intel architecture as our two fundamental platforms. The vast majority in terms of volume is Intel architecture, and in my view will remain so. But the highest performance products that we ship to our customers are based on the Alpha architecture, which just a rough approximation has more than twice the integer performance and more than three times the floating point performance of the Intel architecture. These are dramatic differences. Now, in the articles I've read recently, the most recent, say, PowerPC chips tend to have maybe 15% at best performance advantage over Intel. From my perspective, seeing that you're equivalent to Intel but different is not a very compelling reason for survival. In the case of Digital, we're saying that for those applications that can take advantage of substantially higher performance, we offer 2 to 3 times, and depending on the application, sometimes many times greater than that, a performance advantage. But again, I refer you to the experts in microprocessor design at Microprocessor Reports, and those reports are saying that, yeah, many of these architectures won't make it. In particular, they identified, if I recall correctly, that the most likely early casualty will be the Spark architecture, which seems to have run out of gas.
Thank you.
Wayne Heilman, please state your company name, followed by your question.
Wayne Heilman from the Gazette-Telegraph in Colorado Springs. You mentioned you were going to sell several facilities with the Colorado Springs plant. You currently list that you leased to Quantum, but they'll be vacating it later next year. Will you be selling that?
We have not disclosed our plans in that regard.
Okay, and you also mentioned a restructuring in the service area that I believe I heard that you said it was going to be or has been combined with accounting. Or did I hear that wrong?
I refer to a realignment of where our systems integration unit is positioned within the company internally. We have a business unit in Digital that's focused on direct sales. We call it the accounts business unit. And you may have misunderstood and interpreted that as accounting. But the accounts business unit responsible for direct sales, along with the systems integration business, will be coming together under one integrated management. This is quite logical in that most of the market opportunities in the systems integration area are with the major customers in the marketplace.
Does that involve the customer support centers? Or?
Yes, it does.
Okay, so they're now under the direct sales?
That's correct, led by Vincenzo Damiani.
Does that involve any change in employment or anything like that?
Not that I'm aware of, at least not in a material way. As Bob Palmer pointed out a few moments ago, most of the reductions we see at this point in the labor force in our company would be in the overhead areas.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Susan Amos, please state your company name, followed by your question.
Susan Amos, DIC Computing Magazine, UK. Will DIC be introducing service level agreements and charging structures for its channel to ensure that the channel will not become a heavy financial burden?
Could you repeat the question, please?
Will DIC be introducing service level agreements and charging structures for its channel to ensure that it doesn't become a heavy financial burden in things like technical support that Digital is currently providing to partners?
Yes, we will. In fact, one of the many advancements Digital has made over the past year, somewhat consistent with its revised strategy in the indirect channel area, was to develop essentially a business plan with each of our channel partners. And this business plan, these business plans comprehend these points that you're referring to, and of course, in many cases, they're unique to the nature of that relationship with a given partner. So most definitely.
And last result, you announced that you'd passed the milestone sale of 100,000 Alpha systems. What are you up to today?
Well, I think that the interesting thing about that is, it's, to answer your question explicitly, it's more than 127,000 systems. But the interesting thing about that is that we've been shipping 64-bit systems since late in 1992. And just recently, we were looking at the revenues associated with those 64-bit Alpha systems and products and services is now over $5 billion. Our competitors have not yet shipped their first 64-bit systems. So if you think about it, we've made a large investment in moving to 64-bit technology over the last few years, and we've established a 1 to 2 year lead, in our opinion, in terms of 64-bit computing. The marketplace is finally moving in that direction and coming to the technology that Digital has for many applications. We think that this is going to be a very good position over the coming years, and we expect to see our competitors shipping 64-bit systems in the 1996 calendar year.
Thank you.
Ronnie McBride, please state your company name, followed by your question.
Ronnie McBride, IDC in London. You said that there was moderate growth in Europe. Do you have any figures for this?
The overall growth in Europe was something on the order of 15%.
15%, and which countries were driving that?
I don't happen to have that detail with me
sure.
at the moment, but it was fairly broad-based. And that growth in Europe, as I pointed out earlier, was after making appropriate provisions for the one-time events that I referred to.
Right. Okay, thank you.
I'd like to make one clarifying point on a question that was raised earlier from a gentleman from Colorado Springs. And the question, among other points, dealt with where will the customer support centers report with this change in the accounts business unit and systems integration area. I believe I misspoke. The professional competency centers around the world for Digital will report into the systems integration unit and the accounts business unit. If the question was specifically referring to the customer support center that Digital has in Colorado Springs, that reporting relationship is unchanged. And I'm not quite sure which type of center the question came. Next question, please.
Stephen Burke, please go ahead with your follow-up question.
Yeah, Bob, can you talk a little bit about the impact that Windows 95 is likely to have here? Obviously, Windows NT seemed to be picking up steam in the quarter. Can you give us an idea of what you expect with the Win95 introduction, how that might affect NT?
Well, fundamentally, we think that NT is going to continue unabated in its rather spectacular growth. And for the enterprise customers, clearly NT is the operating system of choice coming from Microsoft. And Microsoft says publicly that that's their long-term strategic direction. Relative to the impact that Windows 95 is going to have on the marketplace, there's been really an enormous amount has already been written on that subject, and most people are expecting it to be a quite positive impact and very favorable to Microsoft, which would be my expectation as well. In Digital's case, because we have had a long relationship with Microsoft around Windows NT, one that was signed in 1992, I think we're very well positioned to take advantage of Microsoft's success with that operating system. At the same time, we have also been extremely successful with our Unix operating system, as you know, and I think Vin mentioned that the growth in Unix on Alpha was more than 25% year over year. That implementation of Unix is the only one in the marketplace today that was designed from the outset as a 64-bit operating system. So Digital is very well positioned. Since we are supporting both Unix and Windows NT, we're also the company that is best capable of helping customers that want those two to interoperate in their environments. And we see that as a major opportunity. Those operating systems will continue to exist in the marketplace. Both will continue to grow. And Digital is well positioned to take advantage of the market demand for interoperability. In addition to that, we have recently announced a strategy that totally protects the VMS customers of Digital, and we're seeing some new customers on OpenVMS because of its reliability, scalability, and robustness.
Hey, Bob, one last question. Can you talk a little bit about potential divestitures or using some of that cash to improve revenue growth?
Well, in the case of divestitures, most of the large adventures of that type are behind us, but we continue to look by business unit. Are there elements of any business unit that really aren't strategic to going forward, that take management attention units, divert us from being focused on our strategy, that sort of thing? If so, I'm encouraging the operating vice presidents to find a home for those if they can do so profitably. So we want to stay focused in our management attention and energy on things that are strategically important for future growth. If we can raise some cash along the way, that's fine, but that's not really the main thrust here. Relative to the uses of cash, we have plenty of opportunities in the computer industry to continue to invest here at Digital to take advantage of growth in a variety of segments. We're going to be talking more about that in September, about our strategic direction, but if your question was related to are we planning any acquisition-related adventures, things of that nature, the answer is no. We're not planning anything of that nature at this time.
Thank you.
April, we have time for two more questions.
Gary Gorton, please state your company name, followed by your question.
Yeah, Bob, this is Gary Gorton with Computer Intelligence Info Corp. And I had a question to kind of dovetail on what Steve was asking about your emphasis on the NT market and also strategic alliances that you've been developing with companies like Oracle. Is there a way to tell how much revenue is coming from those endeavors as a percentage of your total, and are you going to move more in that direction in the future?
Clearly, that's an important cornerstone of our overall strategy for the company, and there is a way to tell. For example, if you looked at, you mentioned Oracle. When we sold RDB to Oracle, not only did we bring in some cash to the company, but more importantly, we got our customers supported by a company whose total business is around software, in particular, databases and applications running on those databases. This paved the way for better customer support for our customers, but also paved the way for the development of the very large memory database that Oracle introduced in April, along with Digital's TurboLaser, so that for the first time, you had an application that could truly take advantage of 64-bit addressing capability on a 64-bit implementation of Unix running on the 64-bit TurboLaser. So the revenue that we're getting from those very large memory applications on TurboLaser is directly related to that partnership. And that revenue is going to grow dramatically in my view. So that's just one example. Partnerships with the important strategic leaders in the industry, like Oracle, like Microsoft, like Lotus, various others, are important to Digital because they're important to our customers. Customers want to buy the products of these companies, and we want them to buy those products on Digital's platforms. We also are investing heavily to support those products. You mentioned Windows NT. There's a tremendous, and for that matter, Windows 95, tremendous market opportunity for training. Customers need help in installing and managing those environments. Digital has more engineers certified in to support Microsoft products than any other company. And so making those kinds of investments to serve our customers in partnership with companies like Oracle and like Microsoft, very clearly part of our strategic initiative going forward.
That sounds good. Do you see the multi-vendor customer service organization being leveraged more into those relationships?
Yes, I do, because very often the help that's needed is not an extensive global enterprise kind of thing, but just some local help. Earlier this year, we received an award for the creation of a new service called the PC Utility. And this is a service that multi-vendor customer services provide where we actually go in and analyze the customer's needs around PCs. We can acquire the PCs, whether from Digital or some other company at the customer's choice. We can install it, maintain it, manage the whole life cycle, support it, and we can do so at a really fraction of the cost that a customer unfamiliar with the industry would spend. That's been a tremendous service. We're the first to do it, and I think we'll have many imitators in that space, just to put one in as an example. Multi-vendor customer services supports customers in 100 different countries. We've got more than 19,000 people in that organization with that support. And so that lets us reach an enormous population of traditional digital customers, but also new customers, and enables us to support our indirect partners. So I think that that's a very good opportunity. Now, as Vin had mentioned in the financial release, though, the margins associated with that kind of business are not as good as the margins that we had once enjoyed in this industry in their traditional proprietary break-fix activities. And so our challenge is to grow those new services rapidly enough that even at lower margins, they offset the decline in the traditional maintenance area. And as Vin mentioned, our multi-vendor customer services business has been growing at more than 40% this year versus last year. Very impressive.
Thank you.
Larry Zuckerman, please state your company name, followed by your question.
Oh, it's Larry Zuckerman from the New York Times. I had a question. I was confused during the initial presentation about the services business. I seem to hear that the integration business had declined. Is that right?
That would be correct in a revenue sense. And what happened there is that fundamentally, as we began our restructuring, we wanted to emphasize profitable business in the systems integration space. We also wanted to redirect the focus of our SI business. In FY94, I think we got away from our traditional strength in technical systems integration. In FY95, we corrected that. We got out of the management general consulting kind of businesses that were in conflict with our partners, the Andersons, the CSCs, Logicas of the world that we want to be partners with, not competitors with for the most part. So we corrected that during this year, and it did result in some modest decline in revenues. Also, as we emphasized profitable business, we stopped chasing some of that other business, and we'll continue that emphasis in 96. I think 96 will be a year of stabilization with modest growth in the SI business, building up new expertise and capabilities, and we expect then to see a more significant growth in the following year.
Thanks.
This concludes our fourth quarter teleconference. Our fourth quarter news release is available through the PR Newswire and Business Wire. Again, if you have any additional questions, please call me at 508-493-2195. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for today. You may all disconnect, and thank you for participating.